The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing there on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in a like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. There are many seats inside. Please come in. A couple of years ago, when I was home visiting my mom, this was before she went into assisted living and before we sold the farm, I went out to the grocery store to buy groceries in the town where I went to high school in Lewisburg, Kansas. It's about 8 miles south of where our farm was. And while I was out there, I started to think, I wonder if I'm going to run into anybody I know, because this is where I went to high school. I hadn't kept up with anybody all these years, so it's like 35, almost 40 years ago. At that time, probably 35 years ago. But I was kind of looking around through the aisles, you know, saying, wonder if I'm going to run into somebody that I recognize. And when I left, after having gotten everything my mom needed, I realized that as I was walking around the store, I was looking for people as they looked 35 years ago. I have no idea what these people look like now. They all look like me with white hair and a paunch, you know, and we're all different than we were in high school. But it had not occurred to me to look for somebody who had aged 35 years. I was looking for people as I knew them to be in my memory. Isn't it interesting that every time Jesus appears, nobody recognizes him after the resurrection? They're all expecting him to look a certain way, aren't they? But he doesn't look like they expect him to look. He comes back several times. This is the third time today that he comes back, but in the other Gospels, there are other accounts of how he would appear to people, to the disciples, to Mary Magdalene, to Thomas. I will not believe unless I actually put my hand into the holes, Thomas said. Jesus comes back and he gives a lot of instructions. He knows his time is limited. He has a lot to tell them. It's a wonder to me he doesn't give them lists of things to remember. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget to tell them this. But in each case, it's not how he looks for which they recognize him. It's what he does. Mary Magdalene has no idea who he is. She thinks he's a gardener until he says her name, Mary. And then suddenly she realizes it's the rabbi. Thomas has to put his hand into the side of Jesus to recognize him. The disciples on their way to Emmaus spend a whole day with him and they don't know who he is. They like him, but it's not until he breaks the bread at the table that they recognize him. And today the disciples who are fishing on the Sea of Galilee, they don't know who he is until he tells them to put their nets onto the other side. And it's in the abundance of the catch of fish that they recognize that it is the Lord. But there is in the Gospel of John something I decided to look into this year that I've never thought of before. Because in the Gospel today, he asks Peter this question three times, do you love me? Now, of course, you realize he does it three times because Peter denied Jesus three times. And in the law of the Jewish people at that time, I am told, this is something I remember from seminary, they said that three times makes it legal. So as long as Jesus got the testimony from Peter three times, then Peter, later in his life, would know with certainty that Jesus had forgiven him. Because I'm sure it must still have weighed heavily on Peter's mind what had happened as Jesus was being crucified. Even at this time, for the Lord to keep asking him, do you love me? Probably inside Peter was challenging him to come to terms with the fact of his own guilt for what he had done. So I looked into the Gospel of John. What are the questions that Jesus asks people after he's risen from the dead? When Mary Magdalene doesn't yet know who he is, he asks her, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? He asks her. When Jesus confronts Thomas with the disciples, he asks him the question, have you come to believe because you have seen me? To the disciples at Galilee, he asks them, have you caught anything to eat? That was today's gospel. And then later, he asks Simon, son of John, three times, do you love me? These are the only questions that Jesus asks in the Gospel of John after he's risen from the dead. And I find this interesting because I'm assuming, anyway, that Jesus had a particular plan about what he wanted to do with these precious days before he ascends into heaven, that these kinds of things are important. Yes, of course, there were instructions that he gave them, instructions about evangelization and about going out and doing, proclaiming the gospel and healing the sick, feeding the poor, all of those things. But he asks these questions not only of the disciples and the handful of people that were there as well, but he asks these questions of us. Why are you weeping? He is attending to our emotional needs. Do you believe because you've seen me? There's the spiritual need, Thomas's crisis of faith. To the disciples, have you caught anything to eat? There's our temporal needs, the hunger that they probably feel because they haven't had anything to eat. They haven't been able to catch anything. But then finally, to Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Simon responds in a very particular way. Now, I'm not a language expert. I'm not a scholar of Greek, that's for sure. But it is my understanding that in Greek, they have two words that have, well, they have four different kinds of love, I guess. All different kinds, like maybe one love would be, the greatest of love would be the one where Jesus says there is no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. So that would be the highest form of love. Then there's the kind of love that you would have for a spouse, that kind of particular love that you would have. And then there's the kind of love that you would have for loved ones, you might say, loved ones. So there's many different levels of love. And the scholars say that when Jesus asks Peter the first time, he says, Peter, do you love me with that kind of greatest love? Would you lay down your life for a friend? Peter responds in his weakness with a less intensive kind of love, sort of like the loved one. Yes, of course, you know that I love you. Or he could say, you know what, Lord, you're a great guy. You're the greatest. I really like you a lot. Which is not the question that Jesus asked the first time. So Jesus asks it again. Do you love me with that greatest kind of love that would you would lay down your life for a friend? And Peter responds again. He's frustrated. No. I mean, yes, I do love you. But he responds with that, I think you're the best. You're awesome. And then in an interesting kind of way, the third time Jesus asks, he meets Peter where he is. He says, do you like me? And apparently that's enough. Peter says, yes, of course. You know that I do. And then Jesus gives him that threefold commission to feed my lambs, to tend my sheep, to take care of this flock that I place in your hands. Well, he asks each of us these same questions every day, and today in particular. We know that it is the Lord's concern for all of our needs, emotional, spiritual, temporal, but above all, relational with him. And he asks each one of us, do you love me? And all of us are going to respond on different levels, but in the beauty of Jesus' message to his disciples and to those that he was closest to, he made it very clear. Wherever you are ready to love him today, he'll take it. He'll take whatever he can get at this particular point. It might just be a little bit. It might be a whole lot. But you can be assured that there will come a day when that will grow. But you have to start somewhere, right? In this moment of new life after the resurrection of Jesus, we rejoice that he is satisfied with what we are willing to give. And he will take that and he will multiply it to the glory of his Father.